خوشنو دی امام زمانہ بلند الصلوات
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم الحمد لله الذي ليس كأولیته انقضاء ولا لأزلیته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته المقول والذي لا تغاري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية الفتور العقراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعدها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أكرم الله عنهم الرزق وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
يا سيدنا على محمد الله وحجة الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولو الله لصاحت الأرض بأحدها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين على رشد إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم والسماء ذات البروج وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم المهدي طاووس أهل الجنة صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Today is a Friday, and the day of Friday belongs to the Imam of our times, Waliyul Asr, Sahib al-Zaman.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Wa hadha yawm al-Jum'ah al-mutawakkaf fihi ruhuka. This is a day of Friday in which your appearance is expected. The day of Jum'ah is Sayyidul Ayyam, is the leader of all the days, and this belongs to the Imam of our time, and I feel appropriate that tonight, as we are holding this Majlisul Azha for welcoming the holy month of Muharram, and we did not receive any news about the moon sighting yet, so tomorrow most probably is not the first of Muharram. So we are holding this Majlisul Azha as a prelude towards the arrival of the holy month. So it's appropriate that we take benefit of this tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we talk about the Imam of our time on this day of Friday. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in Surah Al-Buruj, after the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. So Allah is swearing by the heaven which has the stars. And this verse of the Holy Quran also is connected. And one of the several verses of Quran which is directly connected to the Imam of our time. We are holding this gathering, Majlis al-A'la, Majlis al-Zikr, as one of the biggest and one of the most beneficial means of gaining and achieving Nuraniyat in our souls. By holding the Majlis of Allah, of Abi Abdullah and Hussein alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
We are making ourselves in sync and harmonious with not just the uncountable personalities on the planet Earth and in the heavens, but above all, we are making ourselves harmonious with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala activity. Because Allah says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا
اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ.
And in the Arabic language, the siga of Mubarak, the tense which is used in this verse of the Holy Quran, the tense of Arabic used to saluna belongs to the tense of Mubarak in Arabic, which yadullu ala dawami wa istibrar, that proves continuity and eternity. That means Allah always continuously performs this activity. So Allah is constantly, non-stop, sending His salawat. And this is salawat is one of the best misbah and forms of dhikr of the Prophet Muhammad. So this is something that Allah is constantly, non-stop doing that. And when we hold a gathering where we start doing the dhikr. Dhikr in Arabic means remembrance. For those of the youths and my kids who don't understand this Arabic terminology, which we constantly use in our speeches to make our kids familiar with our Arabic istilahat and terminologies. Dhikr is an istilah and terminology. Just like we learn computers, IT, we learn its terminologies. Isn't it right? Make ourselves familiar, oriented with its terminologies. So Islamic value system has its own terminologies, and we need to make ourselves familiar with those words. Zikr means remembrance. And Zakir means the person who remembers. So we all, by holding this Majlis al-A'la, are making ourselves Zakir. That means we are in the phase of remembering the most beloved personalities of Allah, upon whom Allah constantly sends His salawat. That means Allah Himself is constantly remembering them without stopping. So, we have authentic hadith narrated by Sheikh Al-Mufid in Kitab al-Qasas, where he narrates the hadith from Asbad ibn Nabata. If you remember, Asbad is one of the Mu'assaq, Sifah, and authentic companions, narrated several of the authentic traditions that we value, and he's the companion which had the privilege to meet with Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
was the last companion among the companions and Ashab, the last one to meet Imam Ali Raza before his Shahadat. So Asbagh has his own status in the eyes of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, and he narrates from Ibn Abbas that he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ذكر الله عز وجل وذكري عبادة. Allah's remembrance and zikr, and my zikr and remembrance is ibadat, and وَذِكْرُ عَلِيٍّ عِبَادَةٌ, and remembering Ali عليه الصلاة والسلام is ibadat. And also the Prophet said وَذِكْرُ الْأَئِمَّةِ مِنْ بُلْدِهِ عِبَادَةٌ, that means remembering the Imams from his lineage is ibadat. So worship of Allah, zikr and remembrance can be done in various forms. We can remember someone through our words, that's the oral remembrance, which is the most common among our everyday ways of remembering those personalities and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another way of zikr, which is the which is also included in the concept of zikr, is remembering them in your minds and imaginations and thoughts, which is very significant because al-qalbu amirul badan. That's what our Allah said, that the soul is the commander of the body. So if you remember something in your soul, now your body is under the control, because it's always under the control of the soul. So when your soul remembers, with your imagination remembers, then obviously you will practically perform actions and things and deeds with your parts and limbs of the body, which translate into remembrance. This is called a practical remembrance of the Ahlul Bayt. That's the real thing which we as the believers are supposed to do. And that's how my teacher in his lesson, he was saying that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Sharia from the Ahlul Bayt, the rules, the do's and do nots, the ruins from the unseeable world, is precisely because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make ourselves in sync with the Al-Muqtaheen, with the world of existences around us. Everything around us in this universe, the Nabatat and the Jamadat and the Haywanat and the Malaika and so on and so forth, the immovable existences like stone, rocks, water, soil. Water is also immovable on its own. If you take the gravitational pull away, on its own it's immovable. Like Nabatat and plantations, Haywanat, the animals, everything you can imagine in the universe, they all are perfectly obedient towards Allah and its commands. And then, right, Allah sent His Wahi. Quran says, أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. Your Lord sent His Wahi, your Lord sent the Wahi on the honeybee. So, it's not just the honeybee. Every single existence in the Alamul Takween, the world of existences where we are living in it, has the Wahyun Takweeni, has the divine command that it has received by virtue of its creation and nature. That's how Allah created it, with that Wahy, and thus all those things are perfectly obedient. So the reason what my teacher said, the purpose why Allah sends the whole Sharia upon us, the humans and the things, to follow, Sharia was sent upon the Prophet for us, was to make ourselves in sync with the Alamul Takween. Because Alamul Takween does not have any disobedience and tabarrud and tughyan and arrogance in front of the Creator. They are perfectly obedient and do as commanded without challenging and questioning. whereas they are humans and jinns only subjected to the rulings of the Sharia, the do's and do-nots. And that's in these two categories of existences you find all the arrogance around in the universe is found only in the humans and the jinns. So Allah wants us to behave like humans, to behave ourselves, and to learn from all the existences around us how to obey. Because everything around us is obedient, except us, some of the humans and the jinns. You don't find no disobedience in anything. So we find that Prophet when says, it's narrated in the Hadith of Mi'raj. Hadith of Mi'raj itself is a very long tradition, you know, and has so much to learn from it. So one of the segments of Hadith of Mi'raj informs us that Prophet says that in halaqata bab al jannah min yaqutatin hamra. See, in old days they used to hang a circle or a ring at the door. So any person who comes to your door, he can bang the ring on your door, so you can realize that you can understand somebody is at your door. So in the paradise also, Allah has a ring, a circle hanging at the door of paradise. And Prophet says that the halaqa, the ring, at the door of the paradise, is made of a red ruby, min yaqutatin hamra, ala safah al-zahab, on the plates of gold. So this red ruby ring is hanging at the door of paradise, which is basically upon the blocks or the basically sheets of gold. And فَإِذَا تُقَّتِ الْحَلَقَةُ So إِذَا تُقَّتِ الْحَلَقَةُ عَلَى الصَّفْحَةِ Whenever the ring is hit on the plates, تَنَّتْ وَقَالَتْ يَا عَلِي
So اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ
Whenever the ring at the door of paradise is hit on the flocks or the flakes of gold, it makes a sound automatically. There is a sound coming out of it, which is Ya Ali. This shows that Jannat is custom created for the lovers and the Zakireen and those who remember Imam Ali alayhi salam orally and practically.
Bala Brand Sarawa!
So Hajjaz and Zikr is our goal that we need to hold in our life. That's our milestone that we need to achieve every now and then. We need to be Zakir all the times as Mu'mins. We need to remember Allah and His beloved personalities, Awliya Allah, the beloved personalities of Allah, all the times. And any gathering we learn in the light of the peace where you bunch of mu'mineen come and gather, but the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are not mentioned. This madras is going to be hasrat, is going to be a means of repentance for those people who gathered on the Day of Judgment. But it should not happen in our lives that we gather wherever for doing whatever, but we did not mention the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. This is not how the traits of a mu'min are. This is not what the mu'mins do. So we find that according to the authentic tradition, we learn whenever we hold the Majlis of Allah of Imam Abi Abdullah and Hussein alayhi salam, the angels of Allah arise. Whenever the Majlis of Allah is held, wherever on the earth, the angels of Allah arrive, and Hadith of Mu'tabar informs us, and the angels spread their wings under the feet of all those people who are sitting in the place. Look at the importance of the context mentioned. Look at the VIP treatment and behavior that Allah is doing towards those who are remembering His beloved personality. You are part of the winning team now. So Allah is sending His angels to spread their wings under you. According to the authentic tradition, people who do the zikr of Ahlul Bayt are not sitting on the farsh, on the ground. They are actually sitting over the wings of the angels.
Yeah, that's a different story. Then we don't see those angels because of our sins. If we don't have those sins, and we have those hijabat removed from our eyes like our Urafa do,
and we will be seeing the malakut al-samawati wal-ard, the hidden realities of heavens and earth like the Urafa can see based on their tahara. That's a different story. Just because we don't see, they don't give us a license to challenge. So we find there were scholars who were witnessing angels, seeing those angels. There were scholars who were seeing the angels all standing next to every person who is crying to Nabi Abdullah. We had scholars who witnessed the angels standing next to every person crying on Imam Hussain, and gathering the tears of that person in the qarura and that container, and taking the, obviously the angels gather the tears. The Shah Shaykh and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, how is Imam Hussain is beloved in the eyes of Allah? Can you imagine? All the tears, nothing goes in vain. Anything that you do, you are spreading out these sheets before for the preparation of this great gathering. Somebody is hanging those beautiful names of Ahlul Bayt and the phrases of remembrance. Somebody is preparing food. Somebody is cleaning the shoes of the participants. Isn't that right? All the things and anything that you can imagine that you can do for the sake of Imam Hussain al-Islam is a sharaf, is a means of nobility and a means of ulamat and greatness that we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the special treatment that we get and the high rewards that we are going to see from the day of judgment, which can be seen by the Urafa even today. So we find the angels of Allah, when they return back from the Majlis al-Aza of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, after spreading their wings under the feet of all the participants, and these angels return back and they meet with their counterparts, the angels in the heaven. The angels in the heaven ask them, We are smelling such a beautiful smell. Because I'm paraphrasing this and all these narrations in these all these lights in my own words. So, and the angels of the heaven said, we smell such a beautiful smell coming from you. So, where have you been? And they reply back to the angels of the heaven, we were on earth, spreading under our wings, under the feet of the participants in the Majlis al-Aza of Imam Hussain alayhi salam.
Baba Jibran Salawat.
This man is because of that. They say it once.
And then the angels of the heaven say, okay, now let us also go to the planet Earth, so we can also spread our wings under the feet of those people who are holding the Majlis. And these angels reply back to them, no need to go now because the Majlis has ended. People have left the Husayniyah, Masjid, whatever. They have left the place. The place is now shut. But the Hadith says that the angels still come there. And they come there to the earth and they rub their wings on the ground of that Husayniyah where people were sitting and holding the Majlis for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. They still come and rub their wings, and they also receive the same beautiful smell that the earlier angels received.
So this is how we need to value what we are doing, and we need to hold importance for what we are doing. So Prophet said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَنِي بِالنُّبُوَّةِ, I swear to the one who sent me as a prophet, وَجَعَلَنِي خَيْرَ الْبَرِيَّةِ, and made me the best of all the creatures, إِنَّ وَصِيِّي لَأَفْضَلُ الْأَوْصِيَاءِ, certainly my deputy, that means Imam Ali alayhi salam, is the most superior of all the deputies. So we remember that every prophet of God used to have a deputy, and they write at least one, and some had several. And then write the prophet Jesus, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa sallam. May Allah's peace be upon Prophet Jesus and our Prophet and his family. Prophet Jesus had Shamhoon. Hazrat Shamhoon was the deputy of Prophet Jesus. And we respect all of them and all the prophets and all their deputies. So every prophet, and you know, like Aaron was the deputy, Prophet Harun, what we call in Arabic, was the deputy of Prophet Moses. Isn't it right? And respect all those prophets and their deputies. So here in this tradition, our beloved Prophet says, "Inna wasiyyi la afdhal al-awsiya." Certainly my deputy is the most superior of all the deputies. "Wa innahu la hujjatullahi ala ibadihi." And he is certainly the hujjat and evidence of Allah on his servants. "Wa khalifatuhu ala khalqihi." And his khalifa and vicegerent on his creatures. من بوده الأئمة الكبار من بعده. And from his lineage are the Imams who are the guides after him. بهم يحدث الله العذاب على الأرض. It's through them that Allah, that is through the Prophet and the Prophet and the Prophet, the Adab and torment and punishment of Allah has come to us. See, we find in the earlier generations the people, nations belonging to the previous prophets and messengers, when people used to do a lot of sins, Allah used to punish them. So much Allah arrived on Bani Israel, Quran is there, that is evidence. So many Allah arrived in so many nations, and so many of the humans got converted into animals. Mask, we have mafsukat. The list of animals mentioned in the hadith, 25 animals that were basically humans or nations converted into those 25 animals. Is that right? But in the nation of the Holy Prophet, the sins are not less, unfortunately. But the Adab is still not arriving. Isn't that right? So we find that the hadith here from the Prophet says, "Bihim yahdithu Allah al-Adab." It's through the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam that Allah is holding off the Adab. Not to them, not to arrive on the dwellers of earth. So we find in Waqa'i' al-Ayyam, Marhum Bir Jinni, rahmatullah alayhi, his book Waqa'i' al-Ayyam, he mentioned a story that one of the personalities saw a dream. And in his dream he saw that the Adab was about to arrive on the Ra. In Waqa'i' al-Ayyam, it is mentioned. And then during his dream he saw the Rock Salamaka Allah was about to arrive from Tehran. And then the dream continues and he sees the Rock Salamaka and she says to those people, those angels, whatever who were about to bring the Allah, she says to them, "Keep the Allah away. Because still they are in Tehran, they are still taking the name of my son Hussein." So keep the Allah away from them. So the zikr of Ahlul Bayt has countless blessings that we don't even realize sometimes how much and what kinds of blessings are we receiving. So the sins are no less. Sins are no less, which are taking place, unfortunately. But there are reasons why this nation of the Prophet has certain privileges. أُولَٰئِكَ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا وَخُلَفَاءُ صِدْقًا. The Prophet says that these are the beloved servants of Allah. And his Prophet and his 12 Imams after him, they are the beloved servants of Allah, truthfully. And the Khulafa and vicegerents of Allah, of my khulafa, sidqan, that means my vicegerents, truly, iddatuhum iddatu shuhur, and their number is equal to the number of the months, isna ashara shahran, that means isna ashara, so that means 12, so imams are 12, and bihim. In Ziyarat al-Jama'a, we read in Ziyarat al-Jama'a, which is such a beautiful Ziyarat that can be recited on the grave of any masoom. So it's a generic Ziyarat. So many Ziyarat are specific. The Ziyarat al-Jama'a is an unspecific and generic ziyarat. You can go to any imam's grave and you can start reading the ziyarat of Jami'ah. Then this it means al-Jami'ah, means a comprehensive ziyarat. It is really comprehensive, it has so much ma'arif. If we didn't have, our scholars say that some of the highest ma'arif and high level teachings of Islam, we learn through the ziyarat and ad'iyah. Through the ziyarat and the du'as, we learn some of the highest level ma'arif of Islam. And this is a treasure that we, Shias, are the only nation on earth who hold that treasure. There is no sect of Islam and there is no religion out there who has the access to this treasure other than the followers of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salatu wasalam. So we find that bin yakshifu dhur bikum yunafizul hamma wal gham, that we say in the Ziyarat al-Jami'ah, it's through you that Allah removes the hardship. It's through you that Allah removes the sorrow. The sorrows of the people. Bihim yumsiku salah and tama'a al. See, we see that heaven is there, but we don't find any pillar holding the skies and the heavens. Do you see any pillar? There is no pillar. Now where is the pillar? We discover the pillar from the Ziyaratul Jami'ah. Where Ziyaratul Jami'ah informs us, Bikum yumsiku sama'a and tama'a al. It's through you that Allah is holding the sama'. The heaven, the sky, not to fall down on the earth. The sky would have fallen down if there was no Imam of the time surviving in the universe, placed on the planet earth. Bikum yusikus tamara and tamara. Bikum yusikus jibala and tamira. Bikum yusti khalqahu wal qais. It's through the Imam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides His creatures with the rain. If there was no Imam of the time present, there is no logical or narrated evidence or reason why Allah should shower down the rain on the humans. The logical reason why Allah must send down the rain on us and have mercy on us is precisely because of the presence of the Imam of our time on this planet. That's all. It's only because of Him and only through them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending down the rain. So we cherish about having these Imams, inshallah, when our Sahib al-Zaman, the Imam of our time, Ajjal Allahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Come years, if we find the earth will be rejoicing. Joy, cheering up. Earth will be cheering up. You don't find in the light of the hadith, you don't find a simple handspan of space of the whole planet which is not green. So everything inside, all the treasures and goodnesses inside the earth will be thrown out by the earth. And now the justice is implemented. The Islamic comprehensive Quranic social justice system is now in place. It was given to be implemented through the government, but we separated religion from politics and gave the hardest time to our Anbiya. Isn't it right? To allow the Tawhuts to kill the prophets and run their agendas. And the prophets could not succeed because of our lack of support, because we were worshipping dunya and its material interests. So we find in the time of the Imam, it was such an ideal time that even in the hadith we learn, in the light of the hadith, that even if a woman is carrying jewelry over her head and she travels from one corner of the earth to the other, there will be no man bothering this lady. Even if she's carrying jewelry on his head and traveling from one corner to the other corner of the earth. This is how the justice has to be implemented. People will not become masoom. But let's be realistic. Let's not think about, a world of fantasy. People are not masoom, even in the time of their mom. Isn't that right? Quran is itself an evidence about the existence of Yahud and Nasara in the time, and the Kitab will be existing in the time of Muhammad Islam as well. So people are not going to become, even the Muslims are not going to become masoom. But the zulm cannot the zulm is going to be prevented because of the fact there is somebody enforcing the justice to its fullest. That's how through the government you enforce that people, nobody can mess around. This is the barakah of Imam Sahib al-Zaman
al-Islam.
So we find that Prophet has said in his hadith, أَمَّا السَّلَىٰ وَالسَّلَىٰ إِلَىٰتِ الْبُرُوجِ. I swear to the, Allah says, I swear to the sky having the stars. So the hadith of the Prophet doing the tafsir of this ayat says, أَمَّا السَّلَىٰ وَأَنَىٰ. As far as the sky is concerned, it's me. وَأَمَّا الْبُرُوجِ. And as far as the stars are concerned, فَالْأَئِمَّةُ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَوَّلُهُمْ عَلِيٌّ وَآخِرُهُمْ الْمَهْدِيُّ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
So, and as far as the stars are concerned, it's the Imams after me. The first one among them is Ali, and the last one among them is Mahdi. These are the stars that Allah is talking about in Surah Al-Buruj, and swearing upon them, upon the Prophet and the Imams. So, when you swear upon something, it shows the ultimate greatness. You never swear to make your point authenticated and verified and acceptable in the eyes of the audience. You never swear on something lowly. You always swear on something high, isn't it right? That's the way it goes. This shows the ultimate, we learn in the light of the verse that the ultimate of the Prophet and the Imams. So it is very significant, brothers and sisters, that we mention our Imam more than any other Imam. We love all the Imams, they are all our Imams. But the Imam of our time is the Imam of our own time. And he has a lot of haq and right on our neck. So instead of remembering anyone more, we should remember our own Imam more than anybody. Which his remembrance is equal to the remembrance of the previous Imams, and equal to the remembrance of Allah. There's no difference in that. مَنْ ذَكَرَكُمْ فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Isn't it right? Whoever remembered you has remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So their remembrance is Allah's remembrance. But as the Imam of our time, it's our obligation actually. We had an incident where I took our Masjid Mahdi of Tawakabahi Mahdul Ulum, one of our great Warafa. He used to go to the Haram of Amir Mumin Islam to ask questions directly from Imam Ali Islam. Isn't it right? He looked at the Harat al-Qalb and the cleanliness of the soul that some of our great scholars enjoyed. So somebody asked Sayyidina Mahdi Tawakabahi Mahdul Ulum, there are so many scholars, but you are different. Why is that so? And he replied, because once Imam Mahdi Islam hugged me, and the nur transferred from his chest into my chest. This is the reason why he mentions why he was different than others. So he deserves to be like that, to be that high. He used to go and directly ask his question from Imam Ali Islam. Isn't it right? Imam Ali Islam is alive. All the Imams are alive. They are shuhada. And every marker is alive in the history of Quran. So, and once when he went there to ask what he had to ask for Imam Ali al-Salam, Imam Ali asked him to go to ask for Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ourselves redirected towards the Imam of our time. This is what I'm talking about. It's our obligation to turn to the Imam of our own time. And Ayatollah Al-Mahdi, this great personality, which was a matter of fakhr and pride for the Shia religion. So our religion is proud to have personalities like him at all times. No time is void of Orofa, who are so high like him. Obviously, he was very high. But we all, sometimes our Orofa are not known. Most of the time, they are not known, actually. So there are so many even today who are not known by the people. and they don't want to be known. Because Allah knows them and that's enough for them. Because Imam Sahib al-Zaman knows them and that's enough for them. They don't need to get no recognition from anybody else. They are doing nothing for anybody else. So Ayatollah al-Mahdi has said towards the Mahdaviyat Congress, Khomeini Mahdaviyat, the conference that was held in Iran about Imam Mahdi al-Islam, he sent his message to that conference that tell the stories of the Tashamrufat to our youth. As we tell the stories of all those people throughout the history, glorious history of Shia religion, all those great personalities who had the privilege to meet with Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam, you must tell those stories to the people. So our youth end up realizing that it is possible for us to meet with the Imam of our time. So that's why I would like to just mention very shortly one story and end my speech tonight, inshallah. It's just the beginning of this tonight, I won't take much time. In Mityab al-Makarim, fi fawa'id al-du'a al-Qa'im alayhi salam. This is the name of the book. This is a very much reputable book. And as a matter of fact, it is narrated that the name of the book was assigned by Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam himself.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He gave this name to the book himself. So, Mikyal Makarim, vain the spiritual attributes, the Makarim, Makarim Allah, the spiritual attributes, vain the spiritual attributes regarding the benefits of dua and prayers for the sake of the Imam al-Qa'im alayhi salam. This name of the book, Vain the Makarim. Such a nice book with such a nice name. And that's where a story is mentioned through Muhaddis Qumi as Jannat al-Ma'wa, where it is narrated from Muhammad al-Hasani, that he says that I went to Najaf and to become a religious student. And when I went to Najaf, I was told that there is a person out there who has met with Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam recently. And this person is a very simple man selling donkeys and mules. That was his business. His personalities, as the scholars say, are great, and they never had haram food in their lives. They always had risal halal. They never consumed the slightest haram in their lives. And never fed to their children the slightest haram in their lives. That's extremely fundamental and very, very important duty that we have to our own selves. This duty of seeing the benefit of this and all the rest of the duty returned back to us, our own selves. So they never had haram food and it ate, it always ate them. So he says, I went once to find and I found him. I wanted to be friends with him because obviously the same obvious reason, so I can learn directly from the source about what really happened. So he tells me himself about the story. How he managed to meet with the Imam and what happened. And I went there because he Hubbul Shaykh. When you love something, you love all the asar and signs and symbols and things which are connected to that thing as well. You end up loving all those things as well. Isn't it right? That's the way it goes. So all those who love the Imam al-Islam, you will end up loving them as well. All those things which have any connection with the Imam. We go to the Zareen of Imam Hussein al-Islam, we kiss the door of the Imam, of Imam's shrine. Isn't that right? The door is made by some human over there. It's not made by Imam Hussein al-Islam. But we kiss the door because it has a distant and connection with the Imam. Isn't that right? We kiss the Zareen, which is not made by Imam Hussein al-Islam. Because this Tariq has a connection and dispute with my beloved, my Mawla. So I will kiss the Tariq as well.
That's the way it goes in love. You love not just of that beloved, but all the things which are connected to your beloved. So he said, I went there, I found him, and I wanted to ask him how this all happened. And finally, obviously, I ended up in a sort of friendship with him. And then he described to me once that I learned from some of the Orapa that if you want to meet with them after your time, you have to go for 40 Wednesday nights in the Masjid al-Sahla. Masjid al-Sahla is one of our great mosques of Islam, and actually I've loved Sheikh Jawad al-Ansari, the great poet of ours. He had mentioned in his statement that he used to see more nuraniyat and divine light in Masjid al-Sahla. Every masjid has a nur in it. In the house of God, because there are believers coming in it and praying. Salat itself is nur. Wudu is nur. All the ibadat are nur. When so much nurani worships are performed in the masjid, masjid itself will end up having nur and divine light coming out of it. Again, which we don't see, but they can see. So Ayatollah Sheikh Jawad Ansari, this great arif of ours, was saying that he used to see more nur coming from Masjid al-Sahla as compared to Masjid al-Kufa. Masjid al-Sahla is not one of the four great masajid of Islam, whereas Masjid al-Kufa is. And the reason why he mentioned that Masjid al-Sahla had no nur is because Qasmat al-Taraddud, because Imam Sahib al-Zaman is frequently visiting into Masjid al-Sahla as compared to Masjid al-Kufa. That's why the Masjid had so much nur coming out of it, that the world far seeing that nur, more than Masjid al-Kufa. So he says that I heard from the Urfa that anybody who wants to meet with the Imam of his time should spend 40 Friday, Wednesday morning, Wednesday nights in the Masjid al-Sahla. So I did the same. I went there, he did the same thing for 40 Wednesday nights he spent in the worship there. So he says, one of those nights I found that when I went into the masjid, and it was lightning and raining down, it was raining down in a very rainy weather. There was nobody in the Masjid Sahla. It was just me alone. So when I went there, on that Wednesday night, I thought to myself, I'm going to do my ibadah quickly and then return back to Masjid al-Kufa, because Masjid al-Kufa is usually crowded. Lots of people show up there. There are, mu'mineen there. There's a lot of crowd there. There are khatameen. There's water there. Everything, all those things are available there. So that's what came into my mind. And after I did my prayers in Masjid al-Sahla, and I was thinking about leaving, that's where I discovered that there is a Sayyid, Jaleel al-Qadr, with a lot of majesty, and he's sitting inside the mosque, up there, and praying. There was nobody in the masjid when I came. So he thought to himself that, it must be one of the ulama of Najaf. I may have ignored, in other words. So he went forward to find, and this Sayyid was busy in his prayers, and reading the Tilawat, the Quran. And when finally he was done with his Tilawat and prayers, he turned towards me and smiled. Undro ilayna malakan rahima. If the Imam of our time looks towards someone with a smile, it precisely means that Allah is having rahmat. Isn't that right? Because Imam Sahib Zaman is now the mother of all the danger of Allah. If Allah is angry upon you, He will never smile on you. Because He does what Allah wishes. Whatever they do because Allah is Mashiach. Allah's will dictates that. So we pray, O Allah,
provide us the tawfiq to have the Nazarat al-Rahima from the Imam of Qumran towards us as well, near the sinners. So he says that Imam al-Islam turned his face towards me and smiled with tabassum and laqfat. And he said to me, do you want to go to Masjid al-Kufa? And I said, yes, sister, it's a tradition of us, the people of Najaf, that we visit the Masjid al-Kufa. It has more Zahir there, more Zahireen are coming there. So Imam said, okay, let's go together. He did not recognize that, said Imam. Imam said to him, let's go together to Masjid al-Kufa. And I got so happy. And when we get out of the Masjid al-Sala, we found there was no rain at that time. It stopped raining. It was a peaceful, calm weather at that time. And it was so much noor inside the Masjid just because of this personality. Oh, noor, Masjid was full with the Nuraniyat. So we find that we walked all the way to Masjid al-Kufa, and the door of the Masjid was shut by the time we reached there. And I knocked the door, and I asked the khadim, the servant, to open the door. I knocked it, and finally the khadim did open the door. And by the time the door was opened, and I turned around, I did not find this Sayyid with me. He was gone. So that's where we realize that this is the fadl. This was the wujud al-muqaddas of my Imam of my time, Imam Safat al-Zaman. So, brothers and sisters, the Imam of our time is participating in the Majalis al-Aza of Abu Abdullah. But the shart and condition for us expecting to come into our Majlis al-Aza is our ikhlas. If we have the taharat and the cleanliness of the soul and ikhlas and sincerity towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, then we are eligible to receive the Imam in our gathering, if he wishes. Because Majalis al-Aza, one of the benefits of the Majalis al-Aza is that it relieves us from the ma'asi and the sins. Is that right? So many people get transformed because they just showed up into one majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and you find this person was totally overhauled. His behavior and pattern of attitude was changed. This is how Imam Hussain alayhi salam is the madhhab of Ya Muhallib al-Qulub wal-Absar. Ya Muhawwil al-Hawli wal-Ahwal. Isn't it right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Muhallib al-Qulub and Muhawwil al-Hawli wal-Ahwal. The Imam Hussain is the madhhab of all the names of Allah and the reflection of all of his names and attributes. So people get transformed in one majlis of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. This is the barakat. Who can count the barakat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam from Majalis? So we find when a sha'ir showed up, when a poet showed up, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asked him to read the Mercia, to read the Musibat of Abi Abdullah and Hussain alayhi salam. And this sha'ir was, he sat, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was there, sitting there, a curtain was hanged on one side so that the ladies of the house of the Imam can also hear to the poetry of this sha'ir who is talking about the masa'ib and musibat of Abi Abdullah and Hussain alayhi salam. We find that as the sha'ir starts to read and share about the musibat and the bala and turmoil that Imam Hussain went through in Karbala, we find in the middle, Imam Sadiq stands up and he goes towards the shoes where the shoes are. He takes off his abba, he took his abba and spreads out the abba near to the shoes, and he starts standing there instead of coming back and sitting in front of the shire. And Imam Sadiq was crying.
And finally, when the practice ended, and he was asked the question, why did he do like this? Why did he stand up in the middle of the practice? And he went there close to the shoes, and he put his abba there, and he stood there. He said that my mother, Fatima, arrived in the gathering. And in the respect of my mother, he put the abba on that, so she can sit over the abba of the Imam. And the mother of Imam Hussein and Imam Salih, Hazrat Zahra is coming. In the respect of his great mother, our sixth Imam is standing and did not sit as long as his mother is sitting there and crying. We find Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam has the privilege that all the Anbiya cried for him and all the Malaika cried for him. Right from the very beginning, we find that the Tawbah of Hazrat Adam was accepted by Allah when he mentioned the names of the Panstal, the five Al-Khamsa bin Al-Aba. We find that Ibrahim came and reminded Hazrat Adam about the names of these five personalities. And Prophet Adam did his Tawbah. Ya Mahmood bihaqq, Ya Hamid bihaqq Ahmad, Muhammad, wa Ya Ali bihaqq, wa Ya A'la bihaqq Ali. And likewise, Ya Fatir bihaqq Fatima, Ya Muhsin bihaqq al-Hasan wa al-Husayn wa bihaqq al-Ihsan. So Hazrat Adam mentions the name of the five, and when he mentions the name of the Prophet and Imam Ali and Fatima and Imam Hassan, nothing happened towards his eyes. As soon as he mentioned the name of Hussein, tears rolled down, tears came out from his eyes, and he became mahzoon and sorrowful. Then he asked Jibreel about the reason, and Jibreel tells, يُقْتَلُ عَجَّالًا غَرِيبًا وَحِيدًا فَرِيدًا. That means Imam Hussein alayhi salam is going to be killed, thirsty, in loneliness, and he will be alone. And there will be لا معين له ولا ناصر. There will be no helper for him. So look at the mazlumiyyat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Just like Imam Rida alayhi salam says to Ibn al-Sharif that إن كنت باقيا لشيء فبك للحسين ابن علي. If you want to cry for something, cry for Hussein ibn Ali. And he says that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was slaughtered كما يذبح الكبش, just like a sheep is slaughtered. Look at the mazlumiyyat of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was slaughtered. Even when the brothers and sisters, Islam is a religion that teaches us, even if you are slaughtering a sheep, Islam says you provide water to the animal before to slaughtering the animal. Isn't that right? We are supposed to provide water before slaughtering any animal. But look at the mazlumiyyat of Imam Hussein. When he was slaughtered, there was no water provided to Imam Hussein. Imam Sajjad cried for his father for 35 years. Whenever water was brought in front of our Imam, he used to say, Qutila Abi Atshana, my father was killed thirsty.
فلا نحمد الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا اي مخرجين ينقلبون ثم الله وانا اليه راجعون الهي بحق الزهراء وابيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين واغفر الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وايد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين ناصر الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم ارفع عن الفقراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من انصاره واشياعه
وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآل الطاهرين. Please recite one surah al-Fatiha for the shuhada in Saudi Arabia. We have some mu'mineen who have been slaughtered by the evil regime. For the sake of their pure souls, please recite one surah al-Fatiha.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.